During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
All right, so let's head out to Arrowhead Stadium. Jarrett McKinnon at the podium right now.
And they got great guys on defense. So, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, those guys, they're a championship team too. So we know what we're in for.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go down.
Hey, Jarrett. Obviously, Clyde and Daryl are good players, and they bring their own strengths to the game when they're in the lineup. But what do you think you bring? Do you think you bring something different than those guys when you're in the lineup?
I think, you know, us as a room, you know, we all collectively kind of have a lot of similarities. You know, the only thing that I think I bring, you know, that I feed off is energy. You know, I'm big on energy. You know, guys can feel that. Guys can thrive off that. And, you know, the other guys in office brings as well, Cheetah, Kelsey, Pat, the whole line, everybody. So, you know, it's going to be great to get out there.
Let's go next to Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Jarrett, just the journey this year for you, you know, weren't getting in as much early. Then you got hurt. Did you think you'd be sitting here now health-wise and ready to get it done? And what's that kind of like when you're hurt trying to help out the team a little bit and working mentally through getting yourself back and ready?
Definitely. You know, ever since I got into the league, I've always, you know, prepared myself to be ready for the opportunity. And, you know, as you mentioned before, the injury was definitely a setback. But, you know, on the good side of things, I think my body actually needed it because I feel pretty good now. So it was kind of one of them bittersweet things where, you know, definitely want to be out there helping the team and competing. But, you know, your body won't allow you to. So, you know, the most you can do is get your body right and, you know, just get prepared to come back.
Let's go next to Herbie. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Jarek, as a follow-up to Adam's question, the one just before Todd, you had mentioned the energy that you feed off of each other. How do you think you complement each other in that room and also when you're on the football field?
Yeah. It begins with, you know, just everybody having eyes for the guy that's in. You know, if they see something, just communicating it. You know, communication is a big thing. And then, you know, just keep feeding them energy, you know, whether, you know, they're off to a good start, slow start. You know, just be encouraging, you know, keep the head in the game, keep the head up and just keep them thriving. I think our group does a great job of that.
All right. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, short and sweet from Jarrett McKinnon there at the podium. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. We're from Chris Jones and Andy Reid. I would guess Chris Jones since the players typically go both before or after Andy Reid. So there is Jarrett McKinnon bringing some energy. Things like that. Well, here's Chris Jones right now.
Let's go first to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
I'm sorry, I didn't have my hand up. Sorry about that. How you doing, Chris?
Herbie, how you doing, man?
I'm well, thanks. I'll take it down. Sorry about that.
All good. We'll go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Chris. What's going on, man?
Sam, how you doing?
Good. I wondered if you could kind of just recap the season for you personally a little bit. Obviously, you came into training camp pretty excited about the experimentation of a playing defensive end. You prepared your body for that a lot in the summer. The team needed you to go back inside, and you made that transition. Just can you kind of walk us through what it's been like mentally for you as you've graduated through this year?
You know, the season offers its challenges. Within a season, you face a lot of adversity, whether it's week to week, whether it's dealing with your body, or it's just this pandemic with the COVID. So, you know, facing those and to sum it all up, it was fun. It was fun. You learned a lot. I gained a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge, played with a lot of great players. And, you know, I feel like it could have been better, but I'm happy where we at and where we plan to go.
Next to Pete Sweeney. Go, Pete.
Chris, simple question for me. What has Melvin Ingram and him coming here meant for the front four as a whole?
Melvin has been huge to this defense. Bringing Melvin in, feel like he's been a spark for this defense as a whole, you know. And I know statistically wise, his numbers doesn't show it, but he's been a huge part for this defense, whether it's his presence on the field, whether it's just setting the edge, or whether it's just causing a fumble for our rookie linebacker to win the game. So Melvin is my guy. I hope me and Melvin are playing for many years. But right now we got to focus on Pittsburgh, and we'll worry about Melvin, you know, as this season progresses and as it ends. And then I'm quite sure Vichem try to keep him around.
Let's go next to Harold Kuntz. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Chris, you know, being around for that Super Bowl run last year that didn't end the way you wanted it, as you get to set to start the postseason now, how do you take that memory of the defeat of last year and take it into this postseason where you know any mistake is crucial and you guys got to be at your best, even though you might not be physically at the 100% like you want to be at this time?
Yeah, I live by the five-minute rule. You got 5 minutes to whatever emotion, whatever you're going through, get it out right then and there. Leave it where it's at and move forward. Right now, we're moving forward to Pittsburgh. We got a very good team coming in, an exciting team who's been making some noise in the later part of the season. And they fought themselves a playoff spot. So we got those guys coming in. We know they're fired up, and they're going to be excited to play us again. So, you know, my main focus right now is how can we game plan and what can I do to better myself to force my will on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Chris. Ben Roethlisberger's thrown a bunch of passes in his career with pass rushers hanging all over him. So is there anything about him that makes him tough to bring down other than his size? I mean, you have to do something special to get him down?
Yeah, he's huge. He's smart. In my eyes, he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. You know, when you face these type of guys, they've been playing in the league for a long time. They know how to get themselves out of trouble, and they don't hold on to the ball as much as you would love them to as a defensive lineman. So, you know, we got to pick our poison and try to affect him, whether it's getting our hands up or, you know, getting in his throwing lanes or whatever we have to do to affect the quarterback. You know, he's big. You got to wrap him up when you tackle. He can still throw with guys hovering over him. So it's a tough challenge for us as a defensive line.
We've got four more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Lindsey Jones. Go ahead, Lindsey.
Hey, Chris. Yesterday, Spags was telling us that the defensive line in particular, but kind of the defense as a whole, tends to go as you go. And when you play well, your teammates tend to play well around you. They feed off of your energy. Do you feel that? Can you feel that in the course of the game that once you get going, the other guys do too? And I guess then personally, what sort of challenge is that for you, you know, heading into this playoff run?
I think it's more so of a domino effect. You know, we go as a group, you know, I'm able to feed off Frank Clark, and Frank is able to force the double teams to not to double me the whole game, or is Mel making plays, is opening up for everyone. So, you know, so I think we feed off of each other, and I think as the D-line goes, I think it makes it easier for a lot of individuals on our team, because if D-line is sitting in front and attacking a run, it's easier for our linebackers and we're affecting the quarterback, then, you know, our DBs don't have to hold on all day. So I think it's a domino effect as a whole, as a defense. So I think this emphasizes on how important this D-line is for this game.
Let's go next to Todd Lebo. Go, Todd.
Chris, you mentioned that five-minute rule. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Denver game. Y'all got the win. You didn't get that sack. There was a big incentive that we had read about out there for you. You think about that during the game. How do you put that stuff out of your mind when you're trying to play the game in a team way?
Yeah, you know, it's always good to hit your incentives. We talked about it before the game, but there was not a huge emphasis on it going into the game. I just wanted to win and come out healthy. That was the most important thing. Won in a different game, and that was a tough-fall game. That team came ready to play, and it was a battle to the end. So we made a few critical plays that helped us overcome that hump in Denver, man. It was tough. It was tough. But thank God everyone came out healthy. Thank God I came out healthy, and then that's just the most important thing. Put it behind you. You know, maybe next year we'll get it, or we'll see where it goes.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And Brad, I'll have a quick follow-up as well. Chris, I'm curious. I know in game, right, you're not aware of when the camera's on you, or I mean, sometimes maybe you are, but for the most part, like in your one-on-one matchups and everything. But with this being, if you guys win, what looks like Ben Roethlisberger's last game, there's going to be a lot of video of Ben Roethlisberger. Are you kind of a student of the game, where you know the history of, you know, seeing guys that are, you know, being out there? I mean, this is a video that's going to be shown a lot every time there's a big Ben Roethlisberger, you know, expose on a TV, or he's going to the Hall of Fame, which is expected to happen. You know, there could be a lot of 95, you know, taking him to the ground as the final chapter. Does that enter your mind at all?
Not at all, man. First, we got we got to build a game plan. We got to execute the game plan for all of this to even think about happening. And, you know, we got to affect Big Ben. And, you know, I am a student of the game. I do respect the body of work Big Ben has put in. And in my eyes, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's done some extraordinary things in Pittsburgh. And, you know, as my sister's favorite team. So I know a little history about Pittsburgh. And, you know, we just got to plan a game plan this thing and see where it takes us. But I don't want to speak before the game is brought to us. And we're going to try our best to affect this quarterback any way possible.
And then the last question, you guys were on such a roll there, for, you know, in kind of the middle of the season into the third quarter of the season and holding teams down. You've had a kind of a bump, you know, three of the last four, the teams have put up, you know, better than the average yardage totals against you. Anything you put your finger on where that's, what's been the problem and how you get back to the dominant play you guys had there for quite a stretch?
I think it's more so tackling. I think we missed a lot of tackles over the last course of the season. If we wrap up in tackle, I think we'll be where we want to be. And that's been a huge emphasis of going into the playoff and making sure we're wrapping up and tackling and making sure that our big guys are getting out of the stacks to help our DBs tackle.
We'll last to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Chris, a simple question here, but for fans, I'll be out at the game on Sunday. What's your message to them just about being loud and bringing the energy?
Oh, baby, let's go. Stag Nation, we here. We ready. I'm so excited that we're back in Arrowhead Stadium. You know, it's nothing like it, man. The best fans in America. Let's go! Woo! Oh, man! Woo!
Thank you, Chris.
You awake? You awake out there? Huh? Guy just driving around, listening to the Chris Same Jones now. Conversation, all of a sudden just somebody in your ear. Wow! I was not expecting that. I didn't know what happened.
I literally
there.
Jumped.
You did. You jumped up. You're like, what the hell?
Had What's going
the,
on?
Had the microphones been on, it would have heard a lot of rustling going on with Mick, and that might have happened as well. Chris Jones, excited to play there at Arrowhead Stadium, Sac Nation, in front of the Arrowhead crowd. He's ready to go. He's pumped up. I just want to hear the defensive players talk about tackling. That's all. And Chris Jones mentioned that a number of times in that press conference. Tyrann Mathieu talked about it a lot yesterday.
That's it. It's the biggest thing.
Go and bring energy and tackle and you're fine. This game's about the Chiefs, man. This game is about the Chiefs' energy, Chiefs' effort, Chiefs' execution. That's what it is. And if they go out there and do what they're supposed to do, it won't be an issue. It won't be nip-tuck. People won't have anxiety. It'll be about getting through healthy, which is what Chris Jones talked about, getting through that Denver Broncos game. Before he screamed at everybody. For no reason whatsoever. He's ready to go, though. That's a different approach than you know, some of the Pittsburgh Steelers players are taking.
Did he do a walk-off there? Did he
did,
walk
I think so.
Away from the podium?
Oh, no, he ran off.
He yes. ran off.
He's the last runoff. Few yells there we heard were him way off camera.
Wow, that was those were loud then.
Well, I mean, he knew it was the last question.
He did so say, let's go... What if he didn't know, though? What if there were, like, four other people with their hand up?
He said, you know? Let's
no,
go.
He said,
and then
he said
he
last
laughed.
Question to Matt.
I know, but I'm saying, what if he didn't say that? Would he still have said, like, woo!
I'm sure and he would have gotten off. Fined by the Chiefs PR department because they're really concerned with the media.
Is there a mic drop for the Zoom? Can you just take, like, the camera and throw it to the ground?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you can take the laptop and throw it to the ground, but I don't know how much you want to do that.
Guys, we have a little bit of a delay before Andy Reid gets here. We are actually changing out laptops. Yes. That one was smashed by Chris Jones. He got a little excited about the
Chiefs could get a better quality of laptop Zoom technology out there because it's not great. It's like SD quality almost.
Really?
It's very grainy. It's not SD, but it's it could be a lot clearer.
No, thank you. I'm not watching that thing then. I'm not watching a game
in SD.
You
probably don't see much of those Zooms, do you? I see them all. And I wonder, like, this is really dark and this is really grainy. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Other teams, it's really crisp and clear. Chiefs are like, it's like 2008 quality.
I don't know how we made it as a society in standard definition. I mean, why even go, like, watching it now? And I'm like,
what about when, like,
know what happened in the, on the
like
play?
Like, a 27 inch television was like the biggest.
Yeah.
It was offered pretty much.
And it was in standard, like,
standard def.
Can you even see what's going on? Are you just guessing?
Tell who the players were?
Was that a touchdown or a punt? I don't know what just happened.
No,
I'm
going
to guess it was a touchdown because my team's got the ball,
wait,
but I don't know.
What's the score? Because you only put it up every time you go to break.
Oh, basketball was the worst. College basketball, watching old college basketball games and looking at the bottom and not seeing the ticker.
and just seeing nothing. And then every once in a while, they'll throw the score up there. But then you had to keep track in your own mind.
You did.
Like, kids these days have no idea about the you having to keep track of the score while you were watching the game because it wasn't there the whole time in basketball.
NBC was the last holdout.
No, we're not doing
Dick
it.
Dick Ebersol was like, we don't want people turning over, seeing the score of the game, and then turning away. So that was their mindset. And so for a few years after everybody else adopted the score bug on the screen the entire time, they were still the holdouts back in like the 90s.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, I guess. You turn over to a game and it's lopsided. You know, you turn over and Arkansas is up 52-20.
It's like, okay, everybody else is doing this and we need to catch up with the Tigers.
It's like, oh, I was going to watch this Missouri-Arkansas game, but then I saw that they were up 52-20. Yeah. As opposed to keeping it on there for 2.5 minutes, seeing it's 52-20 and then turning off.
It's the same type of mindset of like, okay, we don't want to put these college football games on TV. Then nobody would come to the games.
Yeah.
You get where they're coming from, but okay, start putting them
on. Or like the NFL's absurd blackout policy.
Yes.
Like, well, I mean, if we put every game and didn't black it out in the local market without a sellout, nobody would show up then.
Do they still do any of that?
I don't think they do it anymore. No. I think they finally got rid of that archaic rule. Like, you know, it's, people are going to show up if they want to show up. It's the product on the field, not whether or not the game is on TV. If people aren't showing up to watch the game in person, they're probably not caring about watching it on TV. If you black it out, you're just giving them less incentive to follow their team.
And the networks are paying you a fee with like three commas in it, right?
That's right.
To air the
Trace
game.
Commas.
You can make up the difference between the empty seats that might be at your stadium.
Yeah. Well, Chris Jones gave us all a little Viagra there at the end with a little woo!
Ready to go.
Speaking of that, here's Andy Reid.
But Andy does the same thing.
The one that didn't practice today was Clyde. You know, like I said, he tested it out a few days ago, and it wasn't quite as good as what we thought it might be, and he thought it might be. So he'll be listed as out when you get the report here. And then everybody else practiced, and I got some work in today, so we should be good to go from there. You know, we look forward to the challenge of playing Pittsburgh. You know, we know that they're a good football team and well coached. So the guys have had a good week of practice here, and we were able to get outside today, which was a good thing, and I get some good work in. So you know, we'll wrap it up tomorrow with our mock game, and then go from there. So with that, time's yours.
Let's go first to Adam.
Hey, Andy, wanted to check on a couple other guys. Tyreek Hill, how'd he do in practice today, and will he be up on Sunday night? And Darrell Williams also.
Yeah, they practiced today,
and they'll be up on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think so. I mean, unless something happens. Sure.
Okay, let's go next to Herbie Teope. Oh, Herbie put his hand out. Let's go to Sam McDowell. Go to Sam.
Andy, a couple for you. One really quick. Just in the portion open to media, we didn't see Frank Clark out there. Everything's good with him. He's going to be available.
Yeah, he had to go to the bathroom.
All right. Well, glad that got broadcast over live. Appreciate it.
That's all right. Just let me know.
And then Chris Jones, we just chatted with him. You know, when we asked him about the fact that he started this season wanting to play on the outside, that's where he was. He's moved back inside. He sort of shrugs it off like it hasn't been that big of a deal to transition. From your perspective, is that a bigger transition than he makes it, even if it's more mentally than physically so?
It was easy for him to move back inside. He worked on the outside part. He's still doing it. I mean, we still move him around and give him shots out there. So it's good to have that flexibility, Sam, is what I'd probably tell you. And I think he's handled it well. He hasn't, you know, those four veteran guys are very, very close, and the backup guys behind him are very close, and they just kind of feed off of each other. All eight of them do their thing. So it's a good room right there.
Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, appreciate the time here. Two questions. First one kind of about Pittsburgh, kind of from the owner to the coach to the quarterback there and what they have and the stability in their organization. Does it remind you of what you all have built here in Kansas City?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they're two phenomenal organizations, and that have been around a long time before you and I were around. So it's, I guess I was around. I was just a little bit younger when the Chiefs came about. But But still, it's these are two phenomenal organizations that have had that have a great history in this league. So, you know, and they, I know the ownership is relatively close too. So they've been doing a long time together in the in this league.
And in your tenure as a head coach, you've been to 8 conference championship games. Is there a common theme or maybe something that you think is a key to sustaining playoff runs and having success this time of year?
Yeah, I think having a good, stable organization, probably getting back to your original question, having the front office being solid and on the same page and the you know, the personnel department being on the same page, your general manager with Brett, and then the coaching staff, and then having good players. I mean, you can't really do one without the other. It doesn't work that way. So having everybody kind of come together, I think it's kind of one of the neat things about this business. It's important. So for success, we've been fortunate to have a little bit of that chemistry, you know, which is a real plus. It's a tribute to Clark, what he's done here.
So we've got 3 more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Coach, we've asked you, you know, a couple times this year about Ben Roethlisberger because you played him a couple times. I don't want to ask about what he is now, but I want to see what you thought about him early because you used to see them all the time in the preseason, right? Pittsburgh and Philly would play back in the day. Did he look like a Hall of Famer type guy when you saw him then?
Well, he did when he was winning those Super Bowls. He sure looked good. He's so big and strong, and he's very, very smart. Michael Vick had a chance to play with him there and just said – He just knows everything about everything. And and is a curious thinker, that which is good. And you've seen him grow up, I mean, right before us, from a young guy from a relatively small college to, you know, being a Super Bowl champion and future Hall of Famer here. So, and he's playing good football right now. The last couple of weeks, man, he's been slinging it. So, you know, and they've got people healthy and so on. So, he's finishing up his career the right way.
Go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And Brad, I'll have a quick follow-up. Coach, Eric Bieniemy, you know, got this time of year the questions he always gets about being a head coach, or at least has been getting for the last few years. And I'm not going to ask you about that, but I'm just curious, you know, he really wanted to talk about Pittsburgh, right? He didn't want to talk about that. How much of a distraction is it for guys on your staff when their name does come up and you know, this time of year, every year, you've had a lot of them go on to be head coaches. Do you have to rein them back in, or the things, you know, that you have to do to try to focus things?
No, not at all. I mean, these guys are unselfish guys. I mean, EB has had that the last couple of years, and it disappoints me that somebody hasn't hired him. I mean, obviously, because he's so good, and I'm hoping that takes place this year. So, but it, you know, these guys, you know, the guys. So, I mean, they're not going to let it be a distraction. They're going to defer to the team and what that's all about, and then kind of let the chips fall where they may, you know. And I'm sure between COVID and our long season, it hasn't been real beneficial for EB and having the opportunity. But I think this year he's gonna end up with one.
All right, that's good to hear. I assume you're pretty informed, so that's good to hear. The other one is just about practice. Like we, you know, guys, you know, have a good practice, you know, teams will have a good practice, a bad practice. I'm just curious in your experience, like how much does a good practice equate to a good game? Like how often do you leave going, oh, we had a great practice, and you turn around and like, wow, we didn't carry that over. Like how does that correlate?
I can't tell. I mean, I've had a couple games I've coached in. So, I mean, you know how that goes. I mean, that sometimes it gets you like that. The majority of the time though, if you have good energy during the week, you end up with pretty good energy during the game. If you make it a habit of having good energy, that's why we strive to exhaust yourself each practice, and that's a speed practice, and push yourself so it transitions and set your mindset for the game. Normally, you're going to do okay, and that's really all you ask for going into a game is, can we play good, solid football? Can we do that and not give games away? You know, you want to come out and play good, solid football. And then, you, like I said, you just kind of let the chips fall where they may after that. You know, you want to be able to get in there and compete at a high level.
Coach, I think that covers us. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right, there's Andy Reid getting ready for the playoffs. Game number one in the playoffs against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team they have already seen earlier this year. Frank Clark not seen at practice. He was going to the bathroom. Using the bathroom, Giannis would say he was taking a tinkle, is what Frank Clark was doing. So there you go. Because
it's the most revealing thing Andy Reid has said in years, maybe.
I don't know. After the Super Bowl win, he got very open and candid with a number of things.
For once, they pull back the curtain, but he's pulling back the curtain on somebody taking a tinkle.
And I don't think Frank Clark wants the curtain being taken pulled back while he's taking a tinkle. Like, hey, what's the deal? He also said, this was an interesting quote with Andy Reid on Eric Bieniemy. Said, you know, he said that he's disappointed that they haven't somebody hasn't hired him yet. He says, I'm hoping that takes place this year. I think this year he's going to end up with one. Is that just Andy Reid saying, you know, hey, it's been 3 years. I think this year. Did he think the same thing last year? Did he think the same thing the year before?
I can't remember if he said something to that effect the last couple of years or not.
Or as Sorin said, like, oh, well, you're pretty informed. So, you know,
good to hear.
Maybe it does happen this year. So we shall see. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We continue rolling. We'll get our predictions. Get what's on tap. We got the cuts all still to come here before we wrap things up at 2 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB in the Zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
What the hell you guys say politely? I want to take a tinkle. A tinkle? Yeah, yeah. I want to take a tinkle. It came back. Yeah. That's it. That's polite, right? Tinkle is polite, yeah. Both games. I want to take a tinkle to win back.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Mick Schaefer, and Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. Sorin Petro, the program comes your way at 2 o'clock. A huge weekend ahead of us for the NFL football as we are your home for the NFL, your home for the Super Bowl.
Everything?
I mean, you ask
all
for
the playoff
it.
Games
We've got it. The playoff games, the Super Bowl, college basketball, the tournament, the national championship,
all
college
the games
football.
This weekend. Is that right? Did I hear or no?
We've got the best post game show, and we've got the doubleheader tomorrow, and we've got Bucks and Eagles, Cowboys, 49ers, and a pregame show that starts at midnight. You're on at midnight, right?
Wait, show on Saturday?
Well, night? Sunday morning.
Or Sunday morning.
I mean, it's really Saturday night at midnight. So, do you have the 2 to 4 shift, or what do you? Which shift were you assigned?
I can't make it. I'm actually taking my second cycle of Viagra to get ready for the Sunday night cold.
Is that right?
Yes.
You're going to be out Sunday night, so
I'll out be
in the cold.
All right, okay.
You're going to be out cold after being out in the cold Sunday night. So I don't know. Maybe you take the advice of
what
one
about
Bart
the Blue
Scott.
Chew, huh? How about that?
Does that also increase the circulation?
I don't know. Ask Tim Grunhard. Ask
do you believe that NFL play? I mean, Bart Scott's. I believe him.
I'm gonna text Bloomer right now.
So we did it. He said we did that when it was cold weather. We would take the Viagra and it would increase the blood flow around your body. And
those are some tight pants they wear, man. Right?
There's been a lot of jokes.
That's the first thing you think of.
There's been a lot of jokes. Pants. Been a lot of jokes that have taken place. A text earlier said, man, I really wish Corey was on the show today because he would have a field day with Bart Scott. I'm like, yeah, he would absolutely had a blast with that. So maybe it's okay, you know, that Mick is hanging out with us.
If it means I get to shed a layer out there, I am all for popping whatever it takes.
Somebody also texted in earlier and said, I hope Chris Jones doesn't take that approach.
Jeez, man. Maybe that's a, yeah, that was just, What's his secret for the combine?
It's just odd. By the way, can you play Deontay Johnson for us before we make our predictions? We've heard Ben Roethlisberger the last couple of days about the, you know, we're just going to go out and see what we do and going to have fun because we're going to lose by 20 and we're double-digit underdogs and they're the best team and they're pretty and we're not and they're popular and we're not and they're dating the quarterback and we're not. So here's Deontay Johnson on being doubted by media and fans.
People expecting us to go out there and have another, how can I say it, loss, like tough loss like that. So that's what they're expecting. They don't expect us to come back with a better plan, you know. So I like being in this situation because once we win, don't try to hop back on the bandwagon, huh? Because remember all that stuff you saying, nah. So I'm not, you know, I'm just gonna leave it at that.
I don't think they'll be jumping on bandwagon after that game on Sunday night.
I don't think so either, but I think you're downplaying that motivational factor there.
Oh,
I mean,
it's
a rematch after a blowout, mm-hmm. right?
And it's a blowout.
In any sport, any level, that rarely equates to another blowout, especially the NFL where you don't have blowouts. You rarely have them. That's a good team over there, and they're going to be motivated, and the Chiefs have never shown the propensity, okay, to shy away from playing close games. Especially in the playoffs.
Except for the Raiders.
In the playoffs?
No, I just mean blowouts.
Oh, yeah, okay. You've got Raiders and you've got Steelers out of 17 games this year. And the Chiefs cover the spread how often? 9% of the time?
But they did against the team they're playing, though, this weekend.
That's what I'm saying, and that's going to motivate the Steelers. If this is the first time they're playing the Steelers this year, I would much more be on the bandwagon of them blowing them out.
Two things that I looked back on last night, and we talked about this with Matt Derrick that were interesting. So the Chiefs took a 36-3 lead when they decided that everybody probably sit down at that time. It was 36-10 because Big Ben and their offense finally scored a touchdown. It was a 16-play drive in which they scored a touchdown on 4th-and-4. To give you an idea of who was in the game for the Chiefs at that time, here are the tackles. Mike Hughes, DiCaprio Boodle, Ben Neiman, Mike Hughes, Derek Nnadi, DiCaprio Boodle, Mike Hughes, Ben Neiman, Dorian O'Daniel. It took them 16 plays to drive down the field on the Chiefs' backups in that game.
I'm fully aware.
The other thing, too, that I was shocked at seeing this number. So we know the Steelers are bad at stopping the run. They're 32nd. But in that matchup, in that game, in the first half, the Chiefs ran 43 plays. Do you know how many running plays out of 43?
I remember the touchdown run that mm-hmm. got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that
right.
weird little award that next week that I'd never
right
heard of.
Right way to play or something
the
like that.
Right way to play.
Yeah.
Exhibiting good tackle-breaking technique.
Right. Good technique on how to break
apparently
a tackle.
Apparently they give it out every week, just yeah. the Chiefs never get it.
Well, I think they got it. Somebody else got it, like Chiefs on somebody on defense got it or something like that. 43 plays on offense in the first half. How many running plays?
Well, so that was that the games
that was when
running
they, that was when they were up 23-0 in the first half.
Is that the
and they
Pringle
had
a 2-touchdown game?
No. Maybe. Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So I'm going to say they were heavily
players.
Weighted in passing the ball. I'm going to say they passed it. And you said that was the first half?
First half alone.
I'll say 25 they passed it.
So 25 18. And so 18 runs.
Yeah.
They ran the ball 14 times in the first half out of 43 total plays. 14 runs out of 43 plays. Second half, they had 29 plays. How many times they run the ball, second half?
21.
23 out of 29 plays in the second half were running plays. 14 of 43, they took a 23-0 lead with a missed extra point and field goal in the second half. That is like the definition of taking your foot off the throttle, of just saying, let's get out of here. They even scored they scored 13 points by just running the football on the Steelers. They still scored 13 points. Like, this should not be a game.
Games don't repeat themselves in the NFL, though.
The Chiefs and Raiders twice.
What, this year?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
I know that.
I mean,
I'm never going to hear the end of it if the Chiefs somehow have the worst loss in the Raider.
A warrior, too. not a warrior. You're a warrior.
No, you had
and
it right. You had it right. The ultimate warrior. You're
a warrior.
You're right.
And a warrior.
People have always thought I was a warrior.
That's,
no, I am a
this
warrior.
This is weird behavior from you. I'm not a worrier, but now I'm worried for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a worrier when it comes to, like, injuries and things like that. That's what I'm a worrier. That's my biggest deal for Sunday, is that you don't get the one seed, so you actually have to go and play a game. You're clearly the favorites. You're better. It's a mismatch. The Chiefs are a terrible matchup for the Steelers. But you still got to go play. All right, prediction time. Beards, what are you thinking happens on Sunday?
I don't think the Steelers win this game, you guys.
Okay, look at you going out on a limb. What do you got?
Probably 3-2.
3-2. Okay, so it's a closer
game.
See,
he thinks it's going to be close,
too,
man.
They do not cover. That's odd. They do not cover. Mick, what do you got? The only one with an actual prediction here.
I'm going to go with Chiefs offense isn't quite as stout, especially throwing the ball with a healthier T.J. Watt in the game. I think he makes a difference.
That is true.
And so I'm going to go with Chiefs 28. I'm going to go with the Steelers 23. I wanted 28-24, but that was the score last week, right?
28-23? It was 28-24, Chiefs over Broncos.
Broncos, yeah. So I can't repeat that score, so I'm going to go 28-23.
They win by 5. Now, is that 28-16 and there's a late touchdown?
No,
that doesn't matter?
I think it's okay. Nip-tuck. I think it's going to be a close game. I think, Steelers know about the playoffs, right? They know how to handle it themselves in it. They've been in a lot of games, put a lot of stock in quarterback and coach there. And they're motivated. They realize all the DiCaprio Boodle stats you just threw out there. Okay? They know too. They're reading it, but just in a different tone. Okay,
I want to hear about this damn DiCaprio.
They're not reading it
Boodle.
In a cocky tone. They're reading it in an angry tone. Who the hell is DiCaprio Boodle? Name the kid after Leo? Are you kidding me?
I don't care about Leonardo ass. All right? This DiCaprio
Can
booty guy.
Can we figure out how old... Wait. What stage in his career would Leo DiCaprio's career would Boodle have been born?
I think we...
Did we break that down?
We did, but
was
I don't remember.
Titanic?
Yeah,
era.
Probably.
He was born in 1997.
That's Titanic
so
era,
Titanic
right?
era, yeah. So. He should have been named Jack Boodle. Never let go. Speaking of that, we got some cuts coming up in the next segment.
Winslet Boodle.
But I've got it 37-17, so that's just a feeling I have. All right, so coming up on tap this weekend, it's presented by KC Beer Company. And the playoffs are here. Special game deserves a special beer. So grab Kansas City's favorite lager, the Dunkel, a rich, smooth, Munich-style brown lager. Go to kcbeer.com. That's B-I-E-R. kcbeer.com. Discover all of their award-winning brands brewed with tradition because quality takes practice. What is on tap this weekend? A lot of football and some college basketball tomorrow. You know, if it wasn't for Missouri and A&M tipping off at 2:30, you would have all of the local teams done playing basketball at the time of the first kick or kickoff of the first game in the NFL. But Texas Tech, Kansas State gets things underway. ESPN2 tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning. West Virginia and Kansas, 1 o'clock on CBS and right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A&M and Missouri, they start at 2:30 on the SEC Network, so you only really need to watch the first half anyway. And then Raiders-Bengals, 3:30 on NBC, Pats-Bills, 7:15 on CBS, and then, of course, Sunday, Eagles-Bucks, noon on Fox, 49ers-Cowboys, 3:30 on Fox, and, of course, Steelers and Chiefs, 7:15 on NBC. That game gets over right around 8:30. According to me.
No, listen, you got to watch our post game.
That's a good point.
Okay?
That's why you said it's going to be. There it is. That's why it's a close game.
Yeah. Down the wire. And actually, you know, you never know. Even after the game, they could maybe change the score for the first time in history. Who knows? Wait and watch another hour and a half after the game. Stay up late with us at 12:30.
I hope the Chiefs aren't playing with an ineligible player that didn't get good enough grades.
Right.
And they're going to have to forfeit this one. And the NCAA is going to go back and vacate this win. We got cuts coming up next.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson.
Everybody's because, like these two boobs.
No. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, Srim Petro, the program comes up at 2 o'clock. McShaffer hanging out with us, Jason Anderson and Beards. Let's see what we've got for the cuts. Beards, take it away.
I am so happy.
Second down and 2 from the 9.
Gordon is the single running back. One receiver, Patrick, out wide to the left. Lock under center has the snap. Hand off. Gordon hit in the backfield. Lost the ball. It's picked up by Kansas City. Racing back to the 25. Down the far side, numbers 50. 40 to the 20. 10-5. Touchdown, Kansas City. Nick Bolton with the fumble recovery and goes 85 yards for a Kansas City touchdown.
Nick Bolton, the former Missouri Tiger, with a game-changing play. A scoop and score. Melvin Ingram knocked the ball loose from Melvin Gordon, and the Chiefs have the lead, and this crowd is stunned.
Speaking of DiCaprio,
I was going to say, that's his favorite song.
That's exactly right. What else, Beards?
I've got a crazy Georgia fan.
Oh, God.
I don't really know what's going on, so why don't you tell me?
This is the Dogs! It's a Sanford, baby! This is how we do it for the Dogs! Now, we get a red, and then we get a black going, and that's the Dogs! It really shines! And then you get the red, and then you get the black. And it pops like Rennie Curran on a tackle. They're going to rip Spurrier's. Yeah! They're going to rip Spurrier's. His visor's going to come straight off. Straight off during the kickoff. That's what I'm saying. Spurrier! You think visors are cool? This is how we do it for the Dogs. Go, Georgia.
Woo! Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Why were they calling out Spurrier?
That was from 2009.
Oh, that's why. Okay, yeah, from Monday.
We played that on Tuesday saying we're happy for this guy that 12 years later now he's got himself a national championship. Spurrier, you think visors are cool? What's next, Beards?
Greg, did you like how Nate threw in there that he listens to the broadcast? Does that make you feel good that Nate is hanging on every one of your words when you're on Sports Radio 810?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. Because, you know, I told him to listen and shoot me texts because, you know, I respect him so much as a broadcaster.
Right.
But I'd like constructive criticism from him, but he never does it. So maybe his mom took his phone away from him. I don't know.
I love the back and forth between Nate and Greg. Keep going, Beards.
Any chance that Nate could get an invite to that reception?
We are going to be at a restaurant, so yeah, we might need someone to clean up. I'll just put you in my pocket, and you can hop out every once in a while. Ask for autographs.
Hop out every once in a while. Keep going. I was waiting for him to go, I am so happy to be here.
Oh, God.
And let me tell you something about this Tiger football team and what we're going to get accomplished this year.
Brian Kelly.
I know the previous coach was not able to get some of those things that you guys were wanting. He won a national championship but did not do nearly enough after that national championship. I'm here to show you, tell you, that we're going to sustain this right here. We're going to sustain this. We're going to punk these SOBs out right out the door. They're going to do that. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Like, damn, Brian Kelly. That is odd.
He crushes a can of Red Bull against his forehead and then moves on.
Ladies and gentlemen, new football coach, Brian Kelly.
Well, I just want to say when we down here in Louisiana, when we came from the big state like Indiana, just being around here, you fine specimen of folks that, you know, talking to some football players while here as well. My family and everybody around here, really getting back into my Louisiana roots.
He's like a robot that's just having a malfunction to where he goes from Ed Orgeron to Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you come around here. And,
my family is so excited
to be around here at Louisiana State University. When we're around here playing football and kicking everybody's ass.
We are going to go out there and play some fine football for y'all fine folks around here. That was dumb.
Is it over yet?
Oh, God,
I
hope so.
Is it over yet?
It's
been a long time, which is weird.
Josh and I just kept playing off each other.
Yeah, Josh and you. Josh was such a big part of that.
He
was in that clip?
He was encouraging. That's what he was. Yeah, I'm encourageable. Keep going.
The fact that Conzo is still coaching there at Missouri. And, let me tell you something about this. If there ain't a better AD out there than Desiree Reed-Francois, that's what I'm talking about. The name alone tells me she know what the hell she's doing right now. And if she want to fire Conzo Martin, she going to fire Conzo Martin. Money be damned. If she don't want to fire Consul Martin, then you get the hell out of her way. That's Reeve Francois.
So is that Ed Orgeron talking about Missouri's AD, or is that Brian Kelly talking about the AD?
Right? That's the point.
We don't know, right?
Let's move on.
And why are they talking about Mizzou's AD?
Why not?
Let's go. Okay.
Who was your number one?
We're starting at number one?
Yeah, let's start at number one.
I did put Aaron Rodgers.
That's fine.
It's very close.
Yeah.
I've got tears and everything. Those guys are, you know, Rodgers is at the very top.
I've got tears with you thinking that Rodgers is over Mahomes. True. Keep going, Beards.
Bart Scott said that guys used to do it all the time.
No, they did not.
That's what Bart Scott said. I don't know if he named names. I'll find the quote again.
The games, if you go into overtime and there's delays, it could last longer than 4 hours. Then what do you do?
Look, man.
You going to leave overtime and go to the hospital?
Everyone knows this. Josh Allen is hard to bring down in or out of the pocket.
Corey's not here.
Was that Thursday? Yes, that was good.
I wouldn't even be upset if he was humble, right? If he wasn't arrogant, if he didn't act like he was Bill Belichick. You know what he is? Bill Belichick your ass out of the stadium because he's sorry as hell.
Joe Judge was Belichicked out of the stadium after that clip from Ryan Clark. That was rock bottom from John Mara. Once I heard Ryan Clark say that, he's fired. What else, Beards?
Because that will change some of their ability to...
And gone, Cynthia. Keep going.
Only 1,098 players and 223 coaches have been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And it said, welcome to the club. And I started crying. I mean, if someone played a prank on me, I'd blow up their car.
Gary Pinkel.
That is his go-to retaliation there.
Yeah, I mean...
He said that on multiple sound bites.
Yeah, I know, and that's probably exactly what he was thinking. Were they going to keep me out of the Hall of Fame now because I was going to blow up somebody's car?
Hopefully nobody's in the car at the time.
Yeah,
right?
No, just blow up the car
beforehand and make sure
that's right. What else, Beards?
You sound like a simp for Alexander Hamilton.
I am.
A what?
A simp for Alexander Hamilton. On Tuesday, we were talking about Fact or Fiction, and we had to say what political office, Aaron Burr held.
Oh, boy. Secretary of State or something like that?
He was vice president.
He was vice president, okay.
He
shot a guy.
Yes, in a duel. It was sanctioned. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
He was treasurer, right? Hamilton, was he treasurer?
Not at the time.
Okay.
Nor was he after.
No, no more promotions.
No, he's done.